Welcome to the second part of this very special Aaron Fox podcast interview series. Once again, we are joined by Lonnie Chen, a renowned policy expert and a counsel in the healthcare group of Aaron Fox. And Lonnie is joined by Sonia Nesbitt, who is the Senior Government Relations Director at Aaron Fox. And once again, both Lonnie and Sonia will continue the discussion about the future of the Affordable Care Act in the wake of the recent presidential election. What aspects of the ACA will President-elect Trump and the Republican congressional leaders most likely want to keep? And perhaps we'll start with Lonnie.
Well, I think that this is very much a live discussion. I think that they're obviously, the president-elect expressed in an interview over the weekend an interest in preserving provisions, for example, that would allow dependents up to age 26 to remain on their parents' plans. He expressed some desire to retain a protection for those with pre-existing conditions. I presume at some level there's an interest in retaining or at least having a mechanism in place to assist low-income Americans with the purchase of private health insurance. I should caution, though, that the interest may not necessarily be in retaining the specific provisions as they exist currently in the ACA. It might be the case that there are ways to preserve those sorts of things in ways very different from the ACA. So just as a brief example, with the pre-existing condition exclusion issue, one way to do it, the ACA does it primarily through a series of mandates on insurers as well as individuals. A different way to look at it would be, for example, to create a series of high-risk pools which are adequately funded and would allow individuals with pre-existing conditions to enroll in affordable coverage that way. So that is a potential way of addressing the pre-existing condition issue that's very different from how the ACA does it. So while it is the case that the president-elect expressed a desire to have coverage that includes those elements from the ACA, he may pursue those objectives in very different ways.
I don't think all that is right. I think for me, the bigger question would be what aspects that are extremely, what people would say extremely popular from other perspectives, particularly from the liberal side, would not be retained. Obviously, the questions related to cost sharing and how that proceeds. That's certainly sort of one of the major things that ties the ACA together, obviously, in terms of helping the insurance companies actually provide health care insurance in an affordable way. As Lonnie mentioned, the mandate question would also be very important, the individual mandate as well as the employer mandate, and it has obviously deep implications, as Lonnie just pointed out, on risk pools which are tied to premium cost as well. So there are a lot of interesting questions that remain.
Yeah, for sure. And let's talk about the impact of this, or really the outlook of the overall healthcare economy. And Sonia, I know you touched upon this a little bit, and we can circle back with you on that to expound more. But maybe we'll start with Lonnie to get on this, and then we'll pivot to you, Sonia, per the usual.
I think that there's always an interest after something as significant as the election we've just had to assess immediate impacts and to think, you know, well, how will this affect pharma, or how will this affect hospitals, or how will this affect insurers? I think the short answer, quite frankly, right now is we don't actually know. I think it's a little bit early still to be drawing big conclusions. I think it's fairly clear that the ACA has had a massive impact on the healthcare economy, has had a massive impact on how different parts of the economy operate. It's had impact on business models. It's created new businesses, it's created new investment opportunities. There are all sorts of different things that the law has created. And remember now, the law has been in effect for 6 years. We've had a president-elect for just over 1 week. So at this point, I would caution against great conclusions regarding how this will affect different parts of the economy, except to say, obviously, in changing the ACA, there will certainly be impacts. There is undoubtedly, for example, a great deal of concern about what might happen to some of the payment reform initiatives that began under the Obama administration. I think it's safe to say that payment reform is a relatively bipartisan issue, but there exists disagreement regarding how heavy-handed the government should be in putting those payment reforms in place. So I would anticipate that a Trump administration might roll back some of the more heavy-handed payment reforms and leave in place some of those that are more broadly accepted in the marketplace. But at this point, honestly, it's tough to tell.
Interesting. Sorry, anything else to add?
Yeah, I was going to say, I would agree with everything that Lon, he just said. He's absolutely right. You know, we just don't know yet what the impact will be, because mostly we don't know yet what President-elect Trump and congressional Republicans would like to do. Obviously, we have some great signals from the reconciliation bill that they put on the floor, that was actually vetoed by President Obama in 2015. That will show signals in terms of what they may pursue in the future. But keep in mind, this bill, the reconciliation bill of 2015, was done with the idea that it would likely be repealed. And so you may see congressional Republicans and, again, President-elect Trump deciding to be much more aggressive in terms of their approach. But, again, it's too early to tell. It's been, as Lonnie said, just less than a week since we've had the new president-elect, and we faced the reality that there will be changes to the ACA. But again, time will tell. But there certainly are any number of ways that this could affect it. But again, it's still too early to tell. And a lot of it has to deal with the fact that I think I will venture to guess that congressional Republicans yet don't know what they want to do as a group in terms of how to proceed with this.
Interesting. And I know one of the key themes here, it's kind of hard to really make any predictions at this point. It's just so new. But from your best estimate, how do you think this will impact, or what does this mean for employers and even certain industries?
Yeah, I think for employers, it's, a lot of it will hinge on kind of what kind of employer, where they're located geographically even. I think there will be differences because, healthcare, despite what the ACA did, can still be a relatively local and regional market. So I think in terms of large employers, there's been a lot of concern, a lot of questions around the Cadillac tax. I think it's fair to say that while Republicans have opposed the Cadillac tax, they do support some sort of a cap on the tax exclusion that employers currently enjoy for the provision of employer-sponsored health insurance. So it's likely the case that the restriction, for example, on – not the restriction, but the tax penalty applied to higher-value plans will continue in some shape or form. I think that the likelihood that an employer mandate returns is relatively low. But at this point, many employers have already made a business decision regarding how they want to handle giving health insurance or subsidizing health insurance for their employees. I think it's also the case that in many states, the ACA has created marketplaces that aren't particularly healthy. And so it might be the case that going forward, those marketplaces will either be made healthier by positive reforms or would change very dramatically in light of what many Republicans believe needs to be a complete overhaul of the provisions relating to the creation of those marketplaces in the ACA. So, again, to reiterate the point, I think we are in a period of uncertainty right now, and it's tough to draw conclusions that are too specific. But I do think that for employers, at least, the unpopularity of the Cadillac tax, notwithstanding the fact that a lot of people don't like it, there is probably going to be some sort of an upper end going forward on how generous employer-sponsored plans can be.
Interesting. Sonia, you have any insights there?
And I think all that is right. But again, I get back to this point of it's just too soon to tell. But I think on the employer piece, you certainly will see some movement there. I also think it will be interesting to see how the president-elect and the congressional Republicans proceed with providing some level of stability with insurers as we move forward. Obviously, there's been a great deal of instability in that particular area with insurance companies leaving the exchanges because they have found that it's not a profitable business for them given the size of the risk pools and more sick people seeking coverage than healthy folks. But again, time will tell to see exactly how they proceed in those particular areas.
Great. Well, thanks for those insights. Let's shift a little bit here as we get closer to the end of our interview. What do you all think comes next for building a Trump administration? And what do some of his, I guess, recent personnel choices that have come up in the media mean for how policy will be implemented? And perhaps we'll start with Lonnie.
Well, policy, you know, personnel is policy. And I think that we should keep a close eye on who the president-elect decides to elevate to important positions in the health policy arena, whether it's the Secretary of Health and Human Services or the CMS administrator or the FDA administrator, for that matter. I think those are all important positions. I think it's also important to see who ends up in the White House and the policymaking vehicles there. We don't have a lot of clarity so far on who those people might be. We've heard a lot of names floated. We've heard Bobby Jindal. We've heard Tom Price, the current chairman of the House Budget Committee from Georgia. There's any number of different people that could assume those roles. But I think it's safe to say that in standing up an administration, personnel is crucially important. And just as much as people will follow the policy utterances of the president-elect or his senior advisors, so too is it important for us to look carefully at who the appointees are to better understand the shape that policy might take in the Trump administration. It will be important to look at those people and to understand where they're coming from, to study what they've said before on these issues, and to consider how they might bring that advice to bear on the new president-elect.
Great. Sonia?
I think I could have said that all better. We certainly don't know who, or at least we don't have any clarity yet on who would lead the Department of Health and Human Services. And as Lahi said, it's not only just who might lead as the secretary, but also there's critical roles, again, CMS administrator, deputy secretary, and also a number of other key people. Who's going to lead FDA, who's going to lead NIH and CDC. There are a number of critical roles within the department that need to be fleshed out. And then just immediately below that, a number of senior positions that will also help craft the direction of healthcare policy for the administration. But what cannot be understated, too, is the role that the White House could play and may play in terms of directing HHS, in terms of the future for healthcare, beyond just the ACA, but in other areas as well. Again, FDA being a significant one, as well as NIH funding for any number of matters. And, you know, in this past administration, the White House did play a role in terms of how it wanted to see the department shape its policy. So it'll be interesting to see if, again, President-elect Trump decides to use his senior advisors, both in the policymaking role as well as in the political roles, to be able to move things forward. Again, my experience in the administration has been that the White House did play a really pivotal role in terms of crafting legislation, working hand-in-hand with HHS and OMB to do that. What remains to be seen is how the Trump administration might play their hand there in terms of articulating their vision moving forward.
That's great. This has been a wonderful interview. And I think we're just about out of time, but I always like to add here or ask at the end, is there anything else to add or anything we may have missed? And we'll start with Lonnie.
No, not a whole lot. I would just tell people to buckle up because it's going to be an interesting ride here over the next, you know, couple months and years as all of this sorts itself out. You know, some really potentially quite significant changes coming in healthcare. You know, we all sort of thought we were done talking about healthcare, particularly because the Affordable Care Act has been in place for as long as it has. And I think if Secretary Clinton had been elected, I think that certainly would have been the case. But we're facing a very different and somewhat more uncertain future. So it will certainly keep healthcare observers in business for a while, that's to be sure.
That's great. Sonia, any last words?
Yeah, I would just say that one of the things I find curious about all of this is that we are seeing a particular spike in interest among the consumer in healthcare. You know, immediately after the election on Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, we saw about, I think the preliminary numbers suggest about 100,000 folks sign up on the healthcare exchanges for healthcare coverage. So it's interesting to see how the consumer is responding and how, frankly, at the end of this Obama administration, which is about the next 6 or 8 weeks, how they sort of laid a ground game in terms of wrapping up, getting folks in the exchanges. and moving forward with their premise, which will be that the ACA is here to stay. That's their policy. They continue to be in charge, and they will move forward with that. But it will be interesting to see in the very short term how things play out, again, with the additional folks who are suddenly signing up for coverage, as well as the exchanges that are still scheduled to be up in the open enrollment periods that are up and scheduled for early next year. It will be certainly up to the Trump administration to manage those open enrollment periods. So it'll be curious to see how this all plays out in the short term as well as we said in the long term.
And that wraps up our two-part Arendt Fox podcast interview series, where we were joined by Lonnie Chen, a renowned policy expert and a counsel in the healthcare group of Arendt Fox, as well as Sonia Nesbitt, who is the Senior Government Relations Director at Arendt Fox. And both Sonia and Lonnie were kind enough to share their insights into the future of the Affordable Care Act in the wake of the recent presidential election.
Thank you.